Lemon Pepper Parlay is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it. Must be 21 or older. Welcome into a March edition of the Lemon Pepper Parlay podcast. Normally, I would have started this with an NBA edition, but right now, even the NBA doesn't care about the NBA because you got Rudy Gobert being completely unserious. Troy Weaver also being completely unserious. But the most unserious thing that I saw all weekend was when Camille Cardoza came through and hit Flauje Johnson like Patrick Queen over the middle. I mean, sent her to the ground. Then Flauje Johnson's brother jumps the scorer's table like there was the high hurdles in the Paris Olympics just to stand there and say, now what? What do I do now? Damn, this girl's a lot bigger than I thought she was.
Yeah, she's 6'7", dude. 6'7".
As Kim Mulkey said, when you're 6'7" like that, you should go push Angel Reese. Not Flauje, who is not 6'7". The Flauje is probably closer to 5'7" than 6'7". But if you missed it, I don't know how you did, but the Louisiana State University Tigers and South Carolina Gamecocks, those are two groups of girls that do not like each other. And March Madness, the madness is happening.
Yeah, man. And according to Angel Reese, they do not fear South Carolina. And she wants to repeat it, Martin, that we do not fear them.
She must have said that uniquely five separate times. She said, no. To be clear, we're not afraid. And it's like, I didn't think, didn't show too much fear, especially when you got goons jumping in from the sidelines. But just, I mean, a wild moment to watch live. And then for them to eject the entire team, I was, you know what I was rooting for at that point?
What?
Overtime. Overtime.
You wanted all the chaos at that point.
We can't end this game in regulation. I needed LSU to hit bang, 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 hit a couple threes, and then tie this game up. Imagine if it was a double overtime with no subs.
Oh my gosh. That would have been crazy. I've never seen that before. All those ejections, man. And I hope. And according to Angel Reese, she seems pretty confident that they are going to see them again in the NCAA tournament. And I think we all agree that we would love to see that matchup one more time.
If women's college basketball, the powers that be have any brains, they will not slot LSU as like the 2 seed in South Carolina's 1 seed bracket. Right, South Carolina is definitely going to be a 1 seed. LSU probably has an argument to be a 1 seed, but you know they'll probably be between the 1 and the either you know mid 1 to mid 2 seed. Put them in a whole other region. That should be the national championship game. If they meet again, it should be the national championship.
That's too risky though. You got to at least put them on the same side so they can play at least in the Final Four matchup. Because, you know, you still got teams like Stanford and Iowa that could mess it up. You got to at least put them on the same side. Not the same region, but the same side, Martin.
I don't know. I watched Stanford lay an egg in the Pac-12 championship. Juju Watkins was MIA. I mean, she was shooting like me out there. Had nothing to give. She's smooth with the ball, but had nothing to give on the offensive side of the equation. Still lost. And then part of me is, I don't know if this, maybe this is a bit of hating, but you think Iowa's going to make a deep run?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. We'll see.
Yes. We'll see. I mean, I'm rooting for it at least. It's better for the sport. Come on, more Caitlin Clark. She's the biggest name in the sport.
You can't miss her. You really cannot miss her right now. So we'll see. I don't think anybody will complain about the Iowa, LSU, South Carolina, and honestly, give me USC.
USC because Final Four. Juju's one of the next biggest names. So yeah,
she's definitely one that's not afraid to shoot the basketball.
No, she hasn't seen a shot that she does not like.
Now. And men's college basketball, I know we're not quite to the point we are in women's college basketball, but I don't know. Is it fair for me to bring up that your team lost by 30 points to the Houston Cougars? Or should I just take Michigan basketball and just go on with it somewhere else? Because they suck.
I mean, as an objective viewer of the sport of college basketball, of course you can bring it up. But as a Michigan alum, you know, I wouldn't be talking too much because your basketball program is, I don't know what direction they're going in actually right now. It used to be a very respectable program, proud, you know, you can count on them making a Sweet 16, Elite Eight, maybe even a Final Four every now and then, you know, during the Trey Burke era, you know, you had Nick Stauskas, you know, Glenn Robinson the third, you know, on and on. And I don't know what's happened.
I know what's happened. They stopped getting future pros. You know, that's, I mean, really what happened. John Beilein should have never left. Him going to Cleveland was the end of his career as a coach. He lasted that long. And yeah, I just, if he had never left, we'd be in a better spot. The foundation was built. And that was upon that foundation that Juwan Howard went on a run. But I had a feeling when I watched Juwan Howard punch an assistant coach from Wisconsin that things were falling apart, and they have since fallen apart. But, you know, I'm old enough to remember the start of this season when you came into works, hop, skipping, and jumping, talking about, we got Hunter Dickinson. He's a new, it was from Big Blue to a Blue Jay. I was like, all right, bro, like, you got it. Like, you got it.
To be fair, though, it's not. We have bigger issues than just Hunter Dickinson. We have no bench at all. If you look at the game logs, you'll see the minute disparity. We have nobody on the bench that you can trust to get a bucket. So you're already hamstrung there. Kevin McCullough, future NBA player, has been out. He did come back recently, but he's been battling injuries.
He's going to miss the whole Big 12 tournament, I saw.
Yeah, him and Hunter, actually. Bill Self announced yesterday. But he did say they will be ready for the NCAA tournament. So I think it's more of a precautionary kind of punting on the Big 12 tournament at this point and just
trying
to get
those guys. Will Kansas be ready for the NCAA tournament?
We'll see. They're probably going to be a 4 or 5 seed.
About to say, that feels a little like the Eagles saying they're resting players to prepare for the first round of the playoffs this year. It's like... Are you sure? You guys don't want to put out some good tape first? You sure you don't need a little bit more practice? You sure you don't want to? You sure that's the strategy you want to take?
Yeah, it's rough, man. I've been on record saying this is probably the worst team in the Bill Self era, which is actually a testament to how good Kansas has been since he's been there, because they're still going to be a 4 or 5 seed. Like, we've seen teams like Kentucky and North Carolina go to the NIT before when they had their Hall of Fame head coaches. So it just kind of shows you how consistent KU has been since Bill Self has been there. If their worst year is a 5 seed.
You know what we call that, folks? Elite spin. Elite spin. That was an Allen Iverson-esque spin move. LaMarcus Aldridge in the post in his prime with the turnaround fadeaway. That's what that was right there.
Hey, man, I gotta bring out some type of positive energy during this situation because it's been tough to watch.
Yeah, well, there's no positivity when it comes to Michigan basketball, except for that Michigan State loss to James Madison earlier this year. I am currently pounding Toby Mergler into the ground in our trendy competition that just started yesterday. And if it wasn't for those pesky Phoenix Suns not covering by 6 instead of 7, I would have gone clean sweep. And my course, per usual, my second guest express was the Dallas Mavericks, who from cover to cover, coast to coast, there was never a doubt about it. Luka Doncic, 7, 8 straight 30-point triple-doubles? He's playing video games while the rest of the league is playing on hard mode.
Hey, man, congrats to you on a good start against Toby, because he's not a tough guy to beat on the trendy, so... You're off to a good start, man. I'm proud of you.
I am. And now this podcast, off to a decent start. We're going to take a break now, spin into more NBA talk actual NBA talk, even though the NBA doesn't care about the NBA right now.
Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesars Palace. All of this can be yours when you bet with Caesars Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns reward credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using code OMAHAFULL and then place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, great, you keep those winnings. But if you lose, you get the stake back as a bonus bet. 21 and up only. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming only. New users and first $10 wager only. Must register with the eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Bet maximum bonus bet $1,250. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to the account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See Caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. No one is stopped before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, and Kansas, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY to 467-369.
So, did you see, sometimes I feel like I just want better for Anthony Edwards because of the people he seems to be surrounded with, like Karl-Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert. But then he'll do something like not show up to the tip of the game and be like, are you involved in this as well? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, how much, like, what's really going on here? But when Rudy Gobert did the Money Manziel sign to Scott Foster and got a technical in a 1-point game, that the team Timberwolves, like in a fight for the top of the West, got, and then after his post game, like apologized and then doubled down again. He was like, "I'm sorry, I can't do that at that moment, but I believe it is true, and I think this is at the third." It's like, I just want to know what conspiracy theory did Rudy Gobert see on YouTube or TikTok or whatever regarding NBA officials rigging the game, but only rigging the game against him.
Like, you're that important to where we're coming up with this conspiracy against you or this plot against Rudy Gobert. Like, there's some guys in their mom's basement and they're like in a dark room, like, "Hey, we got to figure out a way to make sure that we absolutely screw Rudy Gobert tonight or this season. That is our mission in life."
Sometimes it's like, you know what I mean, good message, bad messenger. This is a classic case of bad message, bad messenger. Like, even if this was true, you're the last person that anybody wants to listen to about almost anything. But you remember when he was in Utah, the rig was it was rigged against small markets, right? When he was in Utah. Now he's in Minnesota. Minnesota is a pretty big city. I know, but it's considered still a small market in relation to the NBA, right? But now, I mean, it was a foul. He fouled Jared Allen. So God forbid, the ref call a foul. And then the idea to do, you're on the take because they called a foul in a 1-point game in which you were probably favored by like 5, 6. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's... you're just showing that you don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, and this is the fourth time that Rudy Gobert has been fined for public criticism of officials. But, you know, luckily for him, and the NBA money is just a little different. He's making $41 million this year, Martin. $41 million. He's making elite quarterback money this season. So there you go.
It's a Daniel Jones contract.
Yeah, so he got fined $100,000. And, you know, just big picture wise, we're talking about Rudy Gobert. Always have this image. I think the anniversary was just yesterday or today. I saw a video. He's the guy that
March 11th. Yeah. He gave the NBA COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah. The whole world COVID. That's what I'm saying. Sometimes it's like, what are we doing? It's all your fault.
Yeah. And then maybe we're just too involved in the sports world. But like that image to me was the start of this whole COVID shutdown. Like him at the podium, they coughing on the mics and doing all this, being goofy. And then the next thing you know, everything is shut down. And then there's no sports, no NBA for another like 4 months. Unreal. Rudy Gobert. What a guy.
What a guy. I remember it was either Rudy Gobert doing that. That was when I was like, okay, maybe this is more real than it should be, because I can see how this is such a bleep hole move. That and then watching Fred Hoiberg. I will never forget that.
We
were in a meeting Thursday morning at 9:15 Pacific time.
And I didn't think anything of it at the time. You were all over it, though.
Fred Hoiberg was coaching Iowa State, right?
Yeah,
he was coaching Iowa State and was on the sideline looking like death. Like, just he was like, there's no way. He wasn't knowing what was going on. He looked like he had the worst flu of all time. Like, he was sneezing all over the place, coughing. His face was all red. And I was just like, man, this looked like a day to take a PTO. You know, it's the first round of whatever tournament that, was that the Big 12 tournament at the time?
I think it was the Big 12 tournament.
Big 12 tournament. Yeah. It was like, it's the first round. I'm like, bro, you probably sit this one out. Like, you know, you don't have to try too hard because you look like you're about to fall out on the court. And I remember I was like, yeah, if this is what's going around, we ain't going to be here, bro. Little did I know.
Yeah. You were the first one, though. You were the first one at the job. Like, I was just naive to everything, and I was like, this bro will be fine. You said it, though, and then when you said that, I didn't see you again for a long time. I remember you took home, like, a lot of stuff. Like, I think hand sanitizer or something. Like, you were prepared.
I mean, as prepared for end of the world that you can be.
Well, yeah. Right, yeah.
I just was looking. I was like, there's no way they're sending us back to work. And he was like, you're going to take that? I was like, listen, no one is going to know. It's by the time everybody comes back in this bad boy, we will have forgotten everybody's name. Now, I just never would have contemplated that.
It would have been
3 freaking years. I've been sitting here trying to calculate how much 100,000, what's the percentage of 100,000 into $41 million? I think I finally found the website to do it, because I can't. No, I don't think any of them can do 41 million. I think that number is too big for all of them to calculate. But I think the answer is not much. Not much at all. Like, I feel like $100,000 fine, if you have a $41 million yearly salary, has got to be like 10 bucks.
Yeah.
Like, it's got to be the equivalent of 10 bucks to guys like you and me.
Yeah, maybe even less than that.
You know, it's like, damn, I just got a $5 ticket. Shoot.
Yeah, not even a slap on the wrist.
Not even. But this is the fourth time I've been fined by the refs. I'll be honest, I would not have blinked twice if they had suspended him.
Really? You would have went that far?
Because, like, you know, we were talking about NFL free agency before this came up, before we came on the air. The NFL wouldn't stand for anything like this. Like, you're talking about the Shield? You know what I'm saying? Like, he's intimating in his thing that the refs are on the take. And then, just in case you're curious, he's like, no. Let me be clear. I believe that the refs are cheating. I believe that the refs are on the take. Like, that is a direct, you know, integrity of the league situation. Like, I wouldn't have been surprised. I would not have blinked twice if they had suspended him. I wouldn't have blinked twice. I would have been like, serves you right, dumb boy.
For how long? How many games?
I mean, just a game.
Just a game. Yeah.
Yeah, just a game check. Just a game check. Just pipe down, pal. Pipe down.
I wouldn't be mad at that, especially considering it was his fourth defense. I wouldn't be mad at that.
Yeah, pipe down. Pipe down. And you know who else needs to pipe down? Troy Weaver. Troy Weaver. Did you see this video of Troy Weaver pissing his GM?
Yeah, I did.
Embarrassing.
I did see that.
Apparently there was a back and forth, but it all ends with Troy Weaver saying, "You're lucky I don't beat you." And then prior, like right before that, apparently he had said, "I don't go to your job and heckle you," right? Which I think I have the, like for me, the "I don't go to your job and heckle you" is way worse than threatening to beat him up. But both of them are bad. But like,
yeah.
Oh, like, what do you mean I don't go to your job and heckle you? Like, part of your job, Troy Weaver, is to deal with fans. Like, it's built into the job description. It's like saying I don't go to McDonald's and like, oh yeah, you know, I don't hand the cups over. Like, you like, no, like somebody ordered a meal, you got to hand the cup over. It's part of the deal. Like, that's part of the money that you get. They're going to expect you to hand the chicken nuggets, the fries, and the cup. You can't just abstain from handing over cups because you decide that you don't want to touch the paper cups. Like, it's part of the job. It's part of the job. And let's be real. The fan was right. Fan was right. He said, you suck at the job. You know how many wins that Troy Weaver has had since he's been the general manager, like, you know, of the Pistons?
How many?
First, he took the job 2020, 2021, as we're talking about 2020, right? So he took the job on that, a little Zoom interview, I'm sure, right? Yeah. They have won 70 games, 7-0. So think about that. Since Fred Hoiberg was coughing and sneezing, an upset stomach, indigestion at the Big 12 tournament round one last year, the Detroit Pistons have won 70 games since that moment.
That's crazy. That's insane.
7-0 since Rudy Gobert licked the microphones and shut down the NBA. Because they didn't go to the bubble, right?
Yeah.
Because the NBA play resumed in the bubble with teams that were like participating from the playoffs or right around that, you know, this first play-in tournament, right? So they started the next full season in 2020, 70 wins and 229 losses. Objectively, you're bad at this.
It's not good. Just to kind of put that in perspective, the Utah Jazz this year are on pace to win half of that just this season, right? They got 28 wins. You know, you got about 18 games left. They win seven more, that would be 35, which is half of 70 in one season. So
the same Jazz who traded away, mind you, both of their all-stars in this time period in between COVID and now. Donovan Mitchell plays with somebody else. Yeah. And Rudy Gobert, who's getting a lot of runway on this podcast, plays with somebody else. Full rebuild mode. The coach of the Jazz is younger than me, Will Hardy. He's like 35. He's one of those new Brad Stevens situation. No, no, no. You know, the Pistons got the highest paid coach in the league.
Yeah. And, you know, since, you know, you've been in Detroit, obviously, you have a lot of history there. It's been a while since you've been living there, obviously, but how checked out do you think that fan base is now, like, at this point? Like, they used to be a proud fan base, right? I mean, and not to say they still aren't, but they don't have the product to really care at this point, right? Like, you remember the whole, like, Detroit basketball? Like, they had a real home court advantage out there. Is it called Ann Arbor? Not Ann Arbor. What's it called? Something Hills? What's the city?
It used to be in Auburn Hills.
Auburn Hills, yeah.
But now the arena is downtown Detroit.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But now the arena is in downtown Detroit.
It's sad, though. It's a very proud franchise. Like, we know about, obviously, them back in the 80s with Isaiah Thomas. Then you have the run with the Chauncey Billups-led Pistons teams in the early 2000s. Very underrated proud franchise, man.
There's only eight teams in basketball. I did that math wrong. Five teams in basketball with more championships than the Detroit Pistons.
Hold on, let me do it. Lakers, Celtics.
Yes.
Warriors?
Yes.
Heat? No, not the Heat. Not the Heat. Not the Heat. Not the Heat. Or is it the Heat?
No, the Heat are tied with Detroit.
The Heat are tied. Hold on, I'm missing somebody obvious here.
You're missing two very obvious ones.
Yeah. Oh, Spurs. Duh. Spurs. Yeah.
That's one. And now you're missing what I think to be probably the most obvious of them all. Besides,
oh, the Bulls, the Bulls, the Bulls. Yeah, the Bulls. You know, the one thing about the Bulls is, like, we don't look at them as this historical franchise because it all happened. Like, we look at Michael Jordan. But, like, outside of that, like, you don't really look at the Bulls as one of this prestigious old school franchises for some reason. But, like I said, I think it's because we just give all the credit to Michael Jordan.
No, and it's partly because they're not a prestigious historic franchise. It's just the 90s.
Yeah.
Like, they stunk before, and they got Mike, and they stunk after, and they stink now.
Yeah. Yeah, they stink. Yeah. They're playing pretty good lately, though, but yeah, they're not good.
The only person excited about that, like I said a couple weeks ago, is DeMar DeRozan's daughter. Sounds remarkably like
Toby. They're going to be a playing team, man. They'll be in the plan.
This is, I would say, she sounds like Toby when he starts an episode of Trendy. Mark, let's take a quick break because we have some grammatical issues to address here.
Uh-oh.
How much do you think it costs to make the Kobe Bryant statue?
Oh, man. This is like one of those questions. Like, I don't even know, like, what's the baseline of how much does it cost to make a statue, period. So I'm just literally shooting a number in the dark. I don't know. What?
Ooh.
Like, 10,000?
NPR has answered my question. Well, let's see. It's 4,000 pounds, the statue is.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
And it's going to... So... Somehow this thing launched in February, almost a month ago, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, almost a month ago. I haven't seen it in person. Have you seen it in person yet?
I haven't had a chance to go down there yet.
You haven't made it out to crypto.com.
I have
4,000 pounds. I can't find exactly how much it costs. However, somebody whose tweet was in a different language noticed something interesting about the language that was on the site, I mean, on the statue. Two players' names were spelled wrong, and the word decision in coach's decision. So they misspelled Jose Calderon, who was playing for the Raptors at the time. This is the box score of the 81-point game, which, like we said a minute ago, last week is probably the second whatever record to fall quickly. But
yeah,
Jose Calderson is not the guy who led the NBA free throw made percentage. That to be Jose Calderon. Von Wafer, his name is here, is Von Wafer with an M. And my favorite one is they had two guys who were at the bottom of the box score that were DNPCD, but they spelled coach's decision right the first time, but on the next one, they spelled it with two C's instead of one C and one S. But the thing that is gets me, nobody noticed this before now? It's been up there for a month. Everybody was so busy complaining about what he was doing on top of the statue that they weren't even looking to see. Like, I feel like that's something you would have noticed pretty quickly. And get this, $4,000 per name to fix.
Wow. I would love to see what's the process of it getting approved before they officially put it out to the public, because you would think it goes through a thorough check of everything. Every detail is correct, but from obviously the statue, the jersey, and all the stuff as far as him as a human, but the language, like you would think there's somebody that has to sign off on it. Like that's really odd to me that it got out there and nobody noticed before they put it out in front of crypto.com arena. And then the double down factor is it's been out there for almost a month. And there's been, I'm sure, thousands upon thousands of fans and media alike that have been there and seen it in person since then. And it took this German basketball journalist to find out that there's grammatical errors. Like, I feel like if me or you were out there, I think we probably would have caught on to that, right?
I would like to think that I would have seen it. Like, I would like to think that I, like, if I was out there really looking at it, you know what I mean?
Like really looking at it.
Taking in, if nothing else, I would have seen that there was two different spellings of the word decision, which would have caused me to go, okay, there's might be something more afoot here.
Yeah. Wow. That, what, talk about a blunder, man. I've never heard of anything like this before. Now it makes me want to look at the other statues outside of crypto, but I don't think they have letters on them. I don't think they have lettering on the other ones. I'm not sure. Like you got Kareem out there, you got Shaq, Magic.
Apparently.
A couple other ones I can't remember right now.
Apparently, more, you know, the Vietnam Veterans Memorial in DC.
Yeah. Yeah.
The black wall with all the names.
Yeah.
Jan Scruggs, president emeritus of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Foundation, says 1/10 of 1% of the names, which is, ends up to be a little bit over 100, were misspelled. 62 of them have been re-engraved. Some people didn't want their names, their family members' names re-engraved because they wanted to be in the order of their death still.
Yeah.
But like,
wow.
I would be so mad. I'd be so, how you build a statue of me or put me on the statue? You could just let me off. Like Jose Calderon didn't need to, did he need to be on the statue of Kobe? Did Von Wafer need to be there? Probably not. But they're like, oh, cool, I'm going to be there. And then they go and they realize that it's Jose Calderon and not Jose Calderon.
Well, I know they didn't misspell Jalen Rose's name. a proud Michigan man like yourself.
Man, that was a golden era. Not the Fab Five. I wasn't there for the Fab Five. But when the Fab Five 30 for 30 came out, and then Michigan basketball went on the best half decade run, one of the best half decade runs in college basketball history. Unfortunately, nobody measures things like that unless it works for your school. I mean, what, there was a 5-year period where they did not miss the Sweet 16. Like they were, it was, and it was right at the height, January, February, Izzo, all of that. Not Michigan State was getting knocked around.
And it came at a great time too, because correct me if I'm wrong, those were the dark days of Michigan football during that time, right?
The worst 5 years of Michigan football history.
So you guys basically traded it
every
off.
Metric.
So you basically traded it off. Like, okay, since our football team is going to be historically bad during the stretch, but we're going to have a historically good basketball run. You couldn't have both, Martin.
Couldn't have both. And every time I see Rick Pitino, it makes me mad. Knowing that. No, I said it at the time, and it makes me feel no better to this day. When I watched that thing go and realizing that the only reason that Michigan lost the national championship is because the refs called a third foul in the first half on the national player of the year. What are you here for? You want to talk about being in the bag. And then if Kevin Ware never breaks his leg, Luke Hancock is never playing 25 plus minutes in the national championship game for him to go 6 for 8 from 3.
I could tell that it still burns you to this day, man.
I said at the time, I was like, When this is vacated, because Rick Pitino was having escorts and on recruiting trips and all this other crazy stuff, it's going to feel no better. It's going to feel no better. And to this day, it still doesn't.
Well, at least you got a NCAA football national championship in your back pocket this year, man. Could be worse.
Speaking of those Lakers, Mark Gunnels,
yes,
the
sir.
Floor is yours, Mr. Laker Nation. They've been playing pretty well.
Yeah. This time last week, things were looking kind of bleak, especially after that Kings game where you lost the second quarter 20 after being up 20 in the first quarter. That was a very disheartening game, and it was a big game. It felt like if you lost that game, you had no chance really to get the 7 or 8 and definitely not get out of the play-in. But, Martin, what if I told you since then the Lakers they're undefeated. They've been 2-0 since that game, beat Milwaukee, beat Minnesota, and you got some help. You know, the Kings dropped the game. They weren't supposed to. Suns have been a little uneven, and the Warriors, Steph Curry has ankle problems right now, so he's out for a temporary moment. So a lot of things that have changed since last week to where you actually have a realistic possibility, Martin, to get out of the play-in, which I didn't think was possible, like I said last week, because look at the standings right now. Right now, you're the 9 seed, but you're only a game and a half behind the Kings, who are 7. But at 6, you got the Suns, and you're only 2.5 behind them, but you own the tiebreaker over them, which is very, very important. And the Suns, their next 2 games aren't easy. They got to play. I know they play, I think, Cleveland coming up, and I think they have the Nuggets.
They play Boston.
They just beat Cleveland. They got Boston.
So you're talking about the next 3 games because they have Boston next, then the Hornets, and then the Bucks.
And Milwaukee. Yeah, so 2 of their next
I have a feeling 3. They're going to win the one in the middle.
even if they go
lock in 1 and 2.
Even if they go 1 and 2, like, you still feel pretty good about that, especially if you can beat the Kings. You have to beat the Kings tomorrow night on Wednesday. We're recording right now on a Tuesday. Because if you beat them, then you're only a half game behind. And then after that, your schedule kind of lightens up. You play the Warriors at home when probably no Steph. You got Atlanta, Philadelphia, Indiana, who's been reeling lately. So you kind of just got through your tough stretch where you played Denver, you played OKC, Milwaukee, Minnesota, Sacramento. You got them again. So I think you have a real possibility to get out of it. And I know you're not going to like this, Martin, because you don't like stuff like this, but it's the reality. You have to try to avoid Denver in the first round. And if you look at the schedules, I think Denver's going to end up as the 1 seed. I think they have the best path to be the 1 seed right now, which I think is good for Lakers, because I don't think the Lakers will be the 8 seed. I think worst case scenario, you're in that 7-8 matchup. And if you win that game, you'll be the 7th seed, because if you lose, then you got to play the winner of that 9-10 to get the 8th seed. So, and like I mentioned before, the Denver Nuggets are the only team in the West that I think the Lakers cannot beat in a 7-game series. But if you can prolong it, at least into the conference finals at that point, you'll take it, obviously, because you're in the conference finals, but you don't want to play them in the first round.
You're right. I do hate that. Just try to win. Just beat who's in front of you. Like why? So maybe Jokic twists his ankle and can't go in the Western Conference Finals.
I mean, it's just smart though. If you can play OKC or Denver, who are you picking in the first round?
I wouldn't want to play Denver in any round. But in order to advance in the Western Conference, you're going to have to. So you might as well get it out of the way.
But if you can prolong it to the Conference Finals, maybe somebody can knock them out in the second round. Who knows? Maybe the Clippers. Anything can happen. You have more variance of. Like you said, things happening. I'm not rooting for injuries, but it's just the nature of playing more games. So I'll much rather take my chances than playing them in the first round. If I could.
Yeah, I don't like that jockeying for position. Just go win. How about that? Just go win. Go be better than the other team 4 times out of 7. Is that too much to ask? That's a throwback to days past, I suppose.
Nah, I'd love to see them in the conference finals, just not first round.
It's funny because last year I felt like I was pointing at everybody. I was like, why aren't you all picking the Nuggets? If you think if the conversation the last 2 years is true, you all should be picking the Nuggets. Like, I was here long enough to hear how generational Jokic is and all this and that. Nuggets all last year were basically atop the 1 seed pretty much after Zion got hurt, when the Pelicans were atop, we went right to the Nuggets, and they pretty much stayed there as the top team in the West, or one of the two top three teams in the West, all of last season after the calendar turned to the start of the new year. And I was like, why aren't you guys picking your savior, your hero, Nikola Jokic? I don't understand. Which one is it? Is he the MVP? This team is one of the best teams in the West. Kind of feel the same way right now with the Oklahoma City Thunder. Like, nobody. Zero people. Zero. I haven't found a one. Are like, the Oklahoma City Thunder are making a run in this postseason. All they've been is top of the West all year, just about. MVP candidate, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And they got, you know, the original skinny tower, Chet Holmgren, who, when you know, you combine him with Victor Wembanyama, that's 14 feet and 100 pounds. But I just, between them, I was like, I was told by AppleCare that Chet Holmgren was going to be the type of guy that would change the franchise's future. Why isn't the future now for the Oklahoma City Thunder?
If they play Lakers in the first round, are you picking OKC to win that series?
Yes.
Really?
Who's supposed to guard Shai?
Anthony Davis?
You think Anthony Davis could stand in front of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander?
I thought you said Chet. I thought you said Chet.
Oh, no.
I mean, Shai can, that's fine, but have you not seen their matchups this year? I know it's just the regular season, but they have a massive size advantage against OKC. Like, I would love to play OKC in the first round. Like, love with all caps. Like, I think the Lakers win in five, maybe six.
What? This is bizarro world. It's just, you know what? It's my fault. I listen to too much of the day-to-day conversation.
It's Memphis all over again. Like, it's this similar situation. But this is probably even worse because OKC, this current group, has never been in the playoffs. At least Memphis had a couple of playoff series before Lakers played them. But it's just a bad matchup. It's just a bad matchup. It doesn't take away anything they've done in the regular season. I know what you're going to say. Does the regular season matter? Like, yes, it matters. But also, the matchups matter even more. The Thunder are just a terrible, bad, it's just a bad matchup for them. Like, they don't have the size. AD is a guy that can not only match Chet, but can outplay him. So there's no advantage there with Chet. And, I mean, with SGA, sure, go ahead, score 35 points a game. Fine. I mean, where else, though? I just don't see. LeBron's going to have his way. They're going to kill him on the glass. They're going to have plenty of second chance points. I just think it's a terrible matchup, man. Like, if you're OKC, you should pray that you don't play Lakers in the first round.
I mean, you heard it here first. The best team in the West, 45-19. Don't have a shot. 8-2 in their last 10, don't matter. Once the games start mattering in the playoffs, they'll be out of there before the second round.
Only if they play the Lakers. I'm not talking about just nobody else. Specifically, a Lakers matchup is a terrible matchup for them.
Was it when the Lakers played the Suns in the first round? Was that an 8-1 matchup too?
I think it was 2-7.
2-7?
Yeah.
That was something.
Yeah,
Andre Drummond leaning back on the sidelines.
Yeah. Lakers win that series if AD doesn't get hurt.
Yeah, and if it was a fifth, we'd all be drunk. I just think it's funny. I just think it's funny. Because, Chet is a can't-miss prospect. He can't miss. He's just this, that. He's best thing since sliced bread. SGA is all-star MVP candidate. It's just like, what else is supposed to happen here? Isn't this the recipe to win? Isn't this the way it's supposed to go?
I mean, but are you just discounting playoff experience? You don't think that matters at all? It'll be the first time.
To an extent it matters, but also like it shouldn't matter that much if you have a good team. Like to get out of the first round. Like, we're not talking about the 3 seed or the 4 seed or even like a team like the Pelicans who have like little playoff experience, but haven't been. This is the healthiest they've been since Zion was drafted, right? This New Orleans team. Like, would you expect them to not advance?
I think you're massively underrating the Laker matchup, though. Like, it has nothing to do with them as the team. Like, but are you just going to sit up here and be disingenuous and act like the Lakers would be a normal, like, seven seed? Like, a team that has LeBron James and Anthony Davis? Like,
let's think about this, because we just talked about
the conference finals last year.
And the year before that, they were a seven seed. Like, which one is which?
They went to the conference finals last year as a seven seed.
So, yeah, I think the story is that. So, I guess what the Lakers just punt the regular season and just try to play well enough down the stretch to make it to where they have favorable matchups in the playoffs. Is that the strategy here? Because at some point, what you see on the court has to matter. Like, I watched this team against the Kings go out to a huge lead and then choke it off. Like, you know, it's like, I just wonder, like, and the Kings are in the seventh spot.
Yeah. Okay. But to your point, you're talking about what you see on the court in this particular matchup. Lakers are 3-1 against the Thunder this year. 3-1. I'm pretty sure they're the only team in the league that hasn't had much success against OKC, who's only lost, 15 games?
And 19.
Okay. And almost a quarter of them are against the Lakers? I think that means something.
I guess so. We'll see. I hope the Thunder run them out. I hope the Thunder win a championship this year. Because it's like nobody cares about the regular season. Give me the Thunder and the Timberwolves in the Western Conference Finals. Sign me up. I'm locked in. SGA versus Anthony Edwards. Canada versus America.
I feel like I'm in a matrix, though, because you made the same mistake last year when the Lakers played Memphis in the first round. You were like, the regular season has to matter. The Lakers are a seven seed. There's, what are we doing here? And then the Lakers go to the conference finals. Like, I thought you learned your lesson here, Barton.
So the lesson is the regular season really doesn't matter. Nobody cares. And it doesn't matter until the playoffs.
I think matchups matter.
Matchups matter. Yeah, all right. Matchups matter. This is just all more reason why the NBA needs to move the season back. So we can get more intense. Like, think about it. What was the biggest marquee game of the year this year was the Nuggets and the Celtics so far. And that was, Thursday night? That was the one that was like, ooh, we got to tune into this one.
Yeah.
Like, there'd probably be a lot more if the season was just, you know, it's, what is it? Instead of 65 games in, like a smooth 50 games in, and we're still jockeying for position, maybe these regular season games will matter a little bit more, because everybody in the world said Jason Tatum is not that guy after they lost to the Celtics. I mean, after they lost to the Nuggets on this random Thursday night. But, like, you know, and the thing was, it's broke a streak of 11 straight wins at that time. But don't worry, Jason Tatum's not clutch at all. He's not, you know, he's just, there's just, you know, who's got use for that, according to the national media after that loss to the Nuggets?
I'm not mad at your proposal, though, a couple weeks ago about the NBA season. Started a couple of days before Christmas. You know, then you could dominate the summer. Yeah, they need to look
at that. Bring some feeling. At least women's college basketball is restoring the feeling of intense competition and March, because all this, we'll just wait till the playoffs start and the matchup will be figured out. The matchup. Styles make fights. All right, I get it. The Lakers might not even make the friggin' playoffs. If Steph was healthy, and who knows, maybe if Alperen Sengun doesn't have to get wheelchaired off on Sunday, maybe the Rockets make a run and knock them out. Who knows? Like, but these are the teams that they're competing against in the standings. The Dallas Mavericks with Luka Doncic, and that's it. That's the list. Kyrie's over there just watching Amazon videos. I mean, he's playing well this year. I shouldn't say all that. But it's just them two, and there's not really much going on. It's just, I can't stand this. I can't stand it. Like I started this podcast out, the NBA doesn't care about the NBA right now.
I'm sure Adam Silver disagrees with that.
You know, Kirk Cousins signed today for, how much was it now?
4 years, was it 140?
4 years, 140. Majority of it is going to be guaranteed, but his last two contracts are fully guaranteed. And he's won one playoff game. And in that one playoff game,
I'm sorry. I shortchanged him. 4 years, 180. I'm sorry.
4 years, 180.
Yeah.
He's won one playoff game. And in that one playoff game, Kyle Rudolph pushed off disgustingly in the back of the end zone to no pass interference call. But whatever, things happen. I actually talked to Kyle Rudolph about this, and I was like, you know that was pass interference, right? And he's like, ref didn't call it. Anyway, I bring that up because Ben Simmons is out for the season. And I think – I can't think of – if we were doing a Hall of Fame at the bank, Ben Simmons and Kirk Cousins got to be in the first ballot. Like in terms of – money paid out for results given. Eddie, close your ears. Kirk Cousins lost a playoff game to the New York Giants and Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
And he checked it down on 4th and 13, and it was in Minnesota. And he's got paid 4 years, 180 mil.
Yeah. Man, yeah, it's hard to push back on those two guys. You know, I'm trying to think right now on top of my head, and yeah, it's hard to argue that. I mean, Ben Simmons played in 15 games this year, 42 last year. The year before that, he didn't play at all. I mean, he hasn't played in 60 or more games since the 18-19 season.
I was about to say, Ben Simmons has played in less games since COVID than Troy Weaver has won as GM of the Detroit Pistons.
Yeah, it's not good.
And the crowning moment, the crowning achievement, was that pass to Matisse Thybulle, who, speaking of, when's the last time you heard of him? Where is he at, Matisse Thybulle, right now? If I gave you three teams to pick from, would you know?
Is he not on the Nets?
Hell, I don't know. You would have to tell me.
He is on the Trailblazers.
There you go. Is he on the Nets, Trailblazers? Right. And my third guess would have been the Orlando Magic. Yeah, you told me Matisse Thybulle was on the Orlando Magic, I'd be like, oh, okay.
You're like, okay, I can see that.
Right. Yeah. Well, sounds good.
Yeah. He's averaging 5.6 points per game in Portland this year.
But was freaking running. He was on the court in the fourth quarter of a Eastern Conference semifinal game in which he did not dunk that ball, got fouled. Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
That's his crowning moment. That and being dressed like that house on Venice Beach in that Nets playoff series. There you have it. But speaking of things that look good before they actually play out, do you have a lemon pepper parlay for this week?
I do, sir. I got both my plays for tonight's games, actually. So I got OKC -6. The aforementioned OKC Martin's OKC Fighting Thunder. -6 against the Indiana Pacers. OKC is second.
It was a good matchup. It's a good matchup. No, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
OKC is second against the spread this year. They cover at a 62% rate at 39-24-1 on the season. I like this a lot. They're at home. Indiana's been pretty uneven as of late. And Halliburton is struggling as of late, too. He's been really, really struggling with his shot. So I like OKC there, and I'm pairing that with the Milwaukee Bucks on the money line. They're only a 1-point favorite, so I just took the money line there at Sacramento. And, you know, maybe a little biased. I need the Kings to lose. And they're playing the Lakers tomorrow on the second hand of a back-to-back. So get those back-to-back losses, Sacramento. Got those two plays. I get it at +264.
I seem to always bet on this team. And
yeah, you love mixed results.
The Minnesota Timberwolves.
Yeah, you love them.
I don't know what it is.
Well, you love Anthony Edwards. That's what it is.
They've won 6 of the last 8 against the Clippers. Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, both questionable. I don't think that either one of them will go. And also, Minnesota needs to win this game. They've been in a little bit of a free fall. They lost two in a row, lost four of their last six, and they've been in L.A. since Sunday. So most of the time you see these games will be L.A. back-to-back, right? They'll play the Lakers and the Clippers or Clippers and the Lakers, and you could almost always snipe off the second half of that back-to-back. But this isn't a true back-to-back. They've been here for a minute, feet up, relaxing in the hotel. I think maybe that'll assuage some of the general L.A. flu that we see. Especially in a game they gotta have it, right? So I'm gonna go ahead and take the Minnesota Timberwolves to cover 6.5. And did you happen to see after all that women's college basketball was on, they went to the Knicks and the Knicks and the 76ers?
Yeah.
And that game was, I don't think either team broke, I know neither team broke 90 points.
No, it was like a 90s basketball game.
It was disgusting. Well, I don't think that I don't think the Knicks will lose back to back to the 76ers, who also like maybe won't have Maxey, maybe will have Maxey. Is Maxey going to be in tonight? I don't think so. Either way, like with or without Maxey, I see the Knicks winning this game and covering the spread. So I'm going to go ahead and take the Knicks. I'm taking the Knicks minus 6 and the Timberwolves plus 6.5. That tidies up at a nice 273 on the plus side. But, yeah, I just kind of just betting on Tibbs. I think that Tibbs and will be able to handle the 76ers, especially with this Knicks team and Jalen Brunson being a little bit more recovered from his injury.
I like your parlay, man. Really, really sharp plays. I like them a lot. I might have to tell God. You on that.
Now I'm doomed for failure.
I might have to tell you, man. I like that. I like that. You did a good job.
You know what I'm saying? Little Knicks grit, little Timberwolves. Are you real or not? This is a real or not moment for the Timberwolves. They got to win this game.
And not to mention, because I think them and OKC need the one seed, obviously more than Denver does. Right now, OKC has only a half a game over Denver. But Minnesota's a game and a half behind OKC. And the Clippers are only two games behind them. So they could drop to four. So
that's what I'm saying. This is a huge, huge game for the Timberwolves. And it will go a long way to people like me who believe that the regular season matters and to showing that this is a serious team. Because if this is a serious team, you got to come out and beat this banged up Clippers team.
You know what's so funny, though, about you saying that? I have to call you out on it. You say the regular season matters, but when I ask you to watch games during football season, you're like, it doesn't matter. It's October. It's November. But now it matters? Like, I don't get you, Martin. Does it matter or not?
Because I fall into the trap. You know what ends up happening is I'll sit here and watch these games and then think, wow, this regular season is mattering. Look at all these results. Then the playoffs start, and it's like, oh, 7 seed beating 2 seeds. You got 2 play-in teams in the Eastern and Western Conference Finals. It's like, what are we doing? Why do we even play?
So I was going to say, watch the Miami Heat make another Conference Finals run out of nowhere.
Would you be surprised?
I wouldn't.
Me neither. I would not be surprised one bit.
Jimmy Butler's going to turn into Michael Jordan again in April like he does every year. It's insane.
You know why they haven't won a championship yet?
Why?
Like of this iteration, the Jimmy right. and Bam Heat.
Yeah.
Because Jimmy's never fully committed to the bit. If he starts wearing his hair Fall Out Boy style in the finals, there's no way they're losing.
Fall Out Boy Jimmy, that's crazy.
Jasmine Watkins will be on Twitter talking about Ball Out Boy and going viral with 25,000 retweets.
But I ain't gonna lie though, like I said this to somebody in one of my group chats. I need the Miami Heat to like lose in the first round this year. Like I'm so tired of them being a 7-8 seed, looking mid as hell all year long, and then out of nowhere, Jimmy Joe off the bench, undrafted. Makes 50% of his threes and averages 15 points a game. Like, I'm sick of the Miami Heat doing this, bro.
See, I know what your real angle is here.
What?
You said all this play into conference championship. That's for the Lakers, not for the Heat. There'll only be one team that does that. Come out of the play-in and make deep playoff run.
But at least it makes more sense for the Lakers. I have the greatest player of all time, in my opinion, LeBron James and Anthony Davis, two top 10 players. I don't even think Jimmy Butler's a top 15 player.
Jimmy Butler's definitely top 15. Stop it. Stop it.
We'll save it for another show. I can name 15 players I'd rather have than Jimmy Butler.
And I'll tell you how he beat them in the playoffs.
Cool. So he's talking about Jimmy Butler?
Yeah.
How'd he be? You talking about who?
You said you could name 15 players better than Jimmy Butler. And I said, I'll tell you how he beat them in the playoffs.
See, now we're going back to the argument. Does the regular season matter? Because in the regular season, he is not a top 15 player. There's no way you could tell me in the regular season he's a top 15 player.
He's 35 years old. He's taking, look.
But LeBron's team can't. The 40-year-old can't rest and take games off, but Jimmy Butler can. Oh my God!
I didn't say LeBron couldn't take games off. I just said that's why they're not a good team. It's because their best player, and it's not like they have a wild like. The part of what makes Miami so good is they have a system, right? It's very evident they have a system. They have guys they plug and play like. Kyle Lowry leaves, Haywood Highsmith walks right and does all the same stuff that Kyle Lowry was doing. Like, they find guys that fit what they do and stick to what they do, right? That's a big part of the reason. The Lakers system is LeBron. Right? What was it James Harden say? Like, I am the system?
Yeah.
That's what LeBron is, the system. And he's got to sit out every other night.
Well, I
you see that video of, it was the Bucks game when – it was the timeout before D'Angelo Russell hit the three to win it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And LeBron was like, no, you take the shot. You take the shot.
Yeah.
I think that's a good way to close. Austin Reeves is not closing.